Hello, hockey fans. Welcome to the Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, and here, as always, is THN's prospect expert, Ryan Kennedy. Later on in the production, we've got an interview with the Lincoln Stars GM, John Hall. He's going to be talking about the upcoming USHL season. Our draft spotlight is Philip Zadina, and the team spotlight is going to be the Vancouver Canucks. But Ryan, let's start off with the headlines.
Yeah, let's do it. Owen Tippett sticks with the Florida Panthers, at least for opening night. And this is something that we kind of predicted because GM Dale Tallon was pretty open about Tippett's chances in the summer, even though, you know, he wasn't a top three pick or anything like that. But he has the great scoring power and he skates so well and he's got a good frame. It kind of made sense that if Florida was able to work with him and if they were happy with his all-around game, that he could have a chance with them. Now, the interesting thing here is that if Tippett does stick with the Panthers for a long time, that really hurts the Mississauga Steelheads. That's the OHL team that he was coming from. And already this was going to be kind of a weird fall for the Steelheads because Nathan Bastian, the New Jersey Devils pick, he could have come back, but the Devils thought the pro route would be better for him, and he was eligible for the AHL, so he's off to the AHL. And then Mikey McLeod, another Devils pick, he's a little banged up right now, so there hasn't been a final decision on him. But if Mississauga loses all three of those players, that's a lot of offense right there. I mean, it's essentially an entire top line, even though they didn't always play together. So that puts a lot of pressure on Ryan McLeod, Mikey's younger brother, and also Nick Hague, the Vegas defenseman. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all shakes out.
What are your thoughts on the development path for a guy like Tippett or players of his ilk? Would you rather see them ruminate a little longer at the junior ranks, or is it better for them to be getting pro reps at this age?
Tippett's an interesting case because he's very offensively driven. He's not known for his all-around game, but he is a winger. So when it comes to defensive responsibility, it's not the top priority. I mean, for him, it's scoring goals. He can put the puck in the net. And the Florida Panthers can use a player like that. And if you look at their centers, guys like Barkov and Trocheck, they're pretty good two-way guys. So if you had somebody that's main job is to get points, then I think it's okay. And, you know, if he can develop more of a defensive conscience. I know that was a goal of his when I spoke to him last year, so he's well aware of it. But if he can do that at the NHL level, then I think that's great for him. If he has to go back to Mississauga this season, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, particularly if both Mikey McLeod and Nathan Bastian are gone. Tippett would have to play a pretty big role, and you would hope that he would do so, you know, in sort of a two-way manner. So I think that he's kind of got the best of both situations here, where if he can stick in the NHL, that's cool. But if he were to go back to Mississauga, he could definitely get a meaty role that would help his development.
That's some good fence sitting right there.
Thank you.
The major junior seasons have been underway for a little bit now, but the NCAA kicks off this weekend. Ryan, who are some key guys to watch?
Well, there's going to be some fun ones this year, particularly a couple of freshmen and then one returning player. We'll kick it off with Cale Makar, Colorado Avalanche pick, fourth overall, great puck-moving defenseman, played for Brooks in the Alberta Junior A League last year. He's going to play for UMass, and for those sticklers out there, that's UMass Amherst. But, you know, the Minutemen, they've struggled of late in Hockey East. They're not exactly a power in that conference. But I'm really fascinated to see what Makar can do because I think he'll get a pretty decent role there. They'll also bring in Mario Ferraro, the San Jose Sharks pick, who is also a nice mobile defenseman with some upside. So it'll be fun to see what they can do. And also interesting to see how much of a challenge Hockey East will be for these players because they're going to be going up against Boston University, Boston College. You know, there's going to be some really good teams out there. Northeastern looks really strong, and Northeastern looks pretty veteran-heavy this year. So I think it'll be a good challenge for those young UMass kids. Casey Mittelstadt is another one. Even in just sort of exhibition play with the Minnesota Golden Gophers, he looked electric. And he was great this summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase as well for Team USA. He, of course, was Buffalo's first-round pick this year, and you know, these Minnesota kids, a lot of them grow up dreaming of playing for the Gophers. And Mittelstadt, you know, he's very true to his home state, played for Eden Prairie High School last year, wanted to go for a title at the high school level. Now he's a Gopher. Minnesota's always pretty good. They always have a pretty good amount of talent. But I think Mittelstadt will be so much fun just because of the skill set he brings, particularly on the offensive side of things, so quick with the puck, and I think it'll be a lot of fun to see what he can do. Third player I'll mention is Adam Fox. He's with Harvard, returning player, Calgary Flames draft pick. I would say he was one of, if not the best players for Team USA at that World Junior Summer Showcase. Mittelstadt was up there too. But Adam Fox is interesting because he's not a big kid, but he's very dynamic. And when we look at blue liners, this is something that I'm going to be hammering home all year, you know, with Rasmus Dahlin coming up first overall in the draft, most likely. Adam Fox is just so smart. He's so good at moving the puck, so good at creating offense from the blue line. And Harvard, they've been a very good program of late, so I would expect to see the Crimson do some nice things once again. And Adam Fox is definitely going to be the brains behind that.
USHL season also gets underway, and you've had rankings on THN.com, and Youngstown looking to do very big things this year.
Indeed, the Phantoms were voted the top team by the panel I put together, and this is a program that you know, people know Kyle Connor, the Winnipeg Jets prospect. He came out of Youngstown. They've had some pretty good players over the years. Right now, I wouldn't say they have like a lot of dynamic like NHL prospects, but they're just a very solid team, and they do have one NHL pick in particular, Wouter Peters, who's a big goalie. He's actually from Belgium originally, played some hockey in Austria before coming over to North America. He'll be in the Phantoms net, so it'll be interesting to see what he does, and obviously the Blackhawks will play and pay a lot of attention to what he's doing. Curtis Hall is another player to watch for. He's up for the 2018 draft. Had a chance to see him at the All-American Prospects game, and he's actually a Yale commit. So he's got some good size, got some good skill, and I think this is just going to be a good all-around Youngstown team, and it'll be fun to see what shakes out in that league.
For some additional insight on the upcoming USHL season, Ryan spoke with Lincoln Stars GM John Hall.
Well, I'm here with John Hull, GM of the USHL's Lincoln Stars. And John, first off, the USHL just had a big showcase in Pittsburgh, a preseason showdown. All the teams were there. What was that experience like? Did you like having everybody in one place?
Yeah, certainly. It was a great opportunity for obviously to evaluate our teams, other teams' players, to see where we're at as the league as a whole, which is always a good thing in terms of your talent and competition. And it was obviously great to have support from the Pittsburgh Penguins and the National Hockey League, who really brought it all together, and certainly our league office and commissioner and our brain trust there, who did a fantastic job. It was a first-class event, and the players were treated exceptional, and I thought it was very good. And, you know, bonus for us guys at you know, our scouting staffs were there to evaluate midget and bantam competition. So a lot of hockey in a week, but certainly was, I think, was very productive for all the teams.
Excellent. And this USHL season, there's going to be a couple of rule changes. And one is the playoff format. It's going to extend from an 8-team field to a 12-team field. How do you think that will change things, if any, just in terms of, you know, how hard teams push at the end to get those first round byes?
Well, I think for us, we looked at it as, you know, we want first and foremost players to be in our markets and not be traded, and we think that this will promote less trading within the league, with more teams being in contention all the time. It'll promote being able to play your youth more, whereas last year you know, if you're 4 or 6 points out, even a week into the year, you're kind of feeling the heat. And we hope this is just better across the board for competition with our league and growth. And, you know, we all talk about wanting to be a development league and developing players. And at the same time, we don't want the winning to overtake that. So I think it's going to be a healthy balance. I think it'll be great for competitive play, and then you'll probably see some things happen later on in the season in terms of trade and those things.
Now, looking at the Lincoln roster, there's certainly some nice talent there this year, and probably the most prominent name is Thomas Vomáka, the goaltender. He's Nashville Predators pick coming over from the Czech Republic, played in the NHL last year, had a great preseason for you guys. What can you say about Thomas so far?
Well, he's certainly an interesting character, and, you know, a kid that came to the U.S. a year ago and couldn't speak English and is fully fluent within a year, and certainly a guy that's very outgoing, very talkative, and has really, really found, I think, a great home here in Lincoln and has been really accepted by our guys and certainly has a lot of character to him. So, you know, we think he's got exceptional ability and think he's a guy that can certainly, you know, win hockey games for us and stop the puck at a really high percentage. So, we're excited that he's here, and you know, we've been lucky enough to have some good goalies in the last couple of years with Peyton Jones and Joseph Korna, and we really feel he's along that mold.
Excellent. And then a unique situation on the blue line. You have a set of twins, both of whom are 2018 draft prospects, Cole Krieger and Christian Krieger. What do they add to the mix for you?
I think they add a lot of athleticism, and you know, they're very raw. Their guys, you know, as you look at Cole, he's played the defensive position for 35 games in his life. And, you know, to be able to do that and transfer that and play at this level, which is a top junior league in our country, it certainly speaks volumes about his character, work ethic, his ability to be coached and those things. You know, it's different having twins. You know, as much as they're really identical in the way they look and a lot of their mannerisms, they're really different. So each of them are, you know, present their own attributes and qualities and skills, and we feel the sky's the limit for both of them.
Excellent. Now, Cole, you got as a fifth rounder in the USHL draft, but with Christian, you used a tender to get him. Can you just explain to listeners what the tender system is in the USHL?
Yeah, so our tender system is if you have your first round pick, you can use that to tender a player. Tendering that player means that he has to play, you know, the season on your roster, has to play in a percentage of games. I believe it's 55% or more. And I think that teams are allowed to have two tenders in our league, actually, as long as you have your first-round pick and your second-round pick. So if you don't have a first-round pick, you can't have any tenders. So, you know, we feel that if you look... last year was a pretty big year for tenders, and I think that evaluating the whole system as we go forward, you know, if some of these guys end up being NHL picks, and it's kind of what we, as a league, what the mission was, to get these guys and get them in the league younger and develop them.
Right on. And one final player that I was curious about is Philippe Lapointe, also up for the 2018 draft. He's the son of former NHLer Martin Lapointe. What have you seen from him so far?
Well, Philippe's a cerebral player. He's a great kid, great work ethic, great habits. And, you know, I think like any young kid in our league, it takes time to adapt. But he makes subtle plays all over the ice offensively. He has great instincts and is able to, you know, to make plays with the puck and distribute the puck at a really high level. And, you know, we feel at some point in his time here, he's going to mature into a, you know, an elite player here and certainly in college with Michigan.
Cool. And final question. I know your roots are with Team Illinois, which is a fantastic program. When are we going to see an NCAA D1 team back in that state? There's been so many good players that have come out of Illinois.
I know. It's certainly something that's been talked about since my time there. And you know, with the amount of players there, like, you know, you look at Illinois, has obviously talked about it, and Northwestern and those schools, I just think that it, you know, anything that can be a template for players to play on in Illinois, and certainly at the Division I level, would certainly be huge for the kids there. And, you know, just like the schools that are doing well in, you know, Michigan, and you know, their base is right in their backyard, and Minnesota with the Gophers, their base is right in their backyard, and you know, BU and then old schools, you have that in Illinois. So I think it's just a matter of time, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for doing this, John, and good luck this season.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Our draft spotlight this week is Philip Zadina of the Halifax Mooseheads. Ryan, tell us about Zadina.
Zadina is a very dynamic player. He's a late 1999 birthday, and this is his first season in North America. He's off to a fantastic start already, 8 points in 5 games. And I'm very intrigued by Halifax this year because even though they lost Nico Hischier to the New Jersey Devils, they have a lot of talent. Now, it's a young team. A lot of them are actually up for the draft this summer. So Zadina will be the top kid. And I love his motor. I love his point-producing capabilities. He's got a pretty decent frame as well. They also have Benoit Olivier Gruel, who's the son of coach Benoit Gruel, who used to be in the Quebec League, now in the AHL. They got Jared McIsaac on the back end. He's a very smart defenseman. They have Alexis Gravel in net, who's a big netminder to keep an eye on. But Zadina is really the sort of driving force right now. He's got that big offensive upside, and so far he's adjusted very well to the Quebec League, and it'll be good to see him over the course of a full season. He's always played sort of up a level back home in the Czech Republic, particularly internationally, so it'll be interesting to see what he does versus some of the other imports that Halifax has had in the past.
Speaking of those imports, they've just done a remarkable job of bringing in high-level guys from Europe.
They really have, and a lot of credit goes to GM Cam Russell. He's had a fantastic run of late. As I mentioned earlier, Nico Hischier played for Halifax last year. You know, before that, you had Nikolai Ehlers and Timo Meier, and obviously those guys are off to the NHL, and Ehlers has already had a pretty good career with Winnipeg, albeit a young one. And it's funny, I wonder if it's just a factor of Halifax is, you know, a pretty major city for a junior town. And, you know, for kids coming over, I know sometimes it's difficult if they're trying to learn French and English, or you know, sometimes they might just learn French. Halifax, obviously, an English-speaking city, so I think that might be a selling point for some kids who might be a little intimidated. And the fact that the Mooseheads are pretty competitive most of the time. I mean, they had that Memorial Cup win with Nathan MacKinnon and Jonathan Drouin. But they've also had some nice runs before and after that. And even going back in the day, Jakub Voracek played for Halifax. So they've had a pretty long history of great imports.
Zadina's also had some success on the world stage as well.
He really has. And, you know, when I look at what the Czechs have done internationally in the past 2 years, they've really stepped it up. And I'm not sure if it's just part of the cycle or if it's the fact that Vaclav Virata, the former NHLer, has taken over some of the coaching, but they won the 2016 Ivan Hlinka Summer Tournament, which is an under-18 tournament. We see a lot of great draft picks. Canada always sends their best. Zadina won it in 2016 as an underager. First time the Czechs won it, and the tournament is hosted over there in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, so that was really great. Also played at the under-18s last year and was one of the top players on his team. So the kid, he knows how to step up, and I can't wait to see him at the World Juniors because I think he'll make it.
Where do you see Zadina possibly going in the draft?
I think he could be a top-5 pick. I think a lot of it might depend on how many defensemen go early, so he might get bumped down. But in terms of forwards available, I would put him behind Andrei Svechnikov, but maybe on par with Joseph Valeno. Kind of depends on if you want a center or a winger. Zadina's a winger, which works against him a little bit. And then you also have Brady Tkachuk, actually. So I should say, yeah, probably 5 to 10 realistically, but I think he could be a very nice find.
Our team spotlight this week is the Vancouver Canucks as we continue to go in reverse alphabetical order, giving some love to the lower-end guys. The Canucks, obviously, in full rebuild mode. I think after some years of being a little wishy-washy on that, they finally accepted that. So they're building up not a bad little cadre of prospects.
They are, and you know, I think that they've gone through a bit of turmoil with some of those prospects lately, but we all have to be patient. You know, this is not an overnight thing. And I think one player that is very exemplary of that is Olli Juolevi, the defenseman they took early in the first round. He's off to TPS Turku, back home in Finland. He had been with the London Knights for the past 2 seasons. Won a Memorial Cup his first year and was looking great. But after that, things got a little stagnant. I think it would be fair to say did not have a very good World Juniors last year. The whole Finnish squad really kind of struggled, possibly with the exception of Miro Heiskanen. But Ylevi, he needed something else. He didn't play well this summer when the Canucks were doing their rookie games. And, you know, he just needs a bit of a reset. And I think playing against men back home, Sammy Salo is actually an assistant coach with TPS, and obviously Vancouver Canucks fans will remember him and what he did for their blue line. And actually, Petrus Palmu, another Vancouver Canucks selection who had been with Owen Sound, he's back with TPS as well. So there's a nice little Vancouver contingent there.
Of course, some of their prospects are already seeing time in the NHL, specifically Brock Besser and Jake Virtanen.
Yeah, Brock Besser, he got, you know, a nice little showcase at the end of last season. And I'm a Brock Besser fan. I have been for a while. I think he's got a natural goal-scoring touch. He's got that nice frame, and he moves pretty well. And I think this is one of the brighter lights that Vancouver has at their disposal. It'll be interesting to see what kind of usage he gets this season and what kind of situations Coach Travis Green puts him in. I think this is a player that, you know, with the right centers could really go off in the NHL, and it'll be fun to see what kind of chemistry he develops with some of Vancouver's top-end players. I know, you know, dating back to last year, he had some pretty good chemistry with Bo Horvat and Sven Berchi on the line, and I really think that, you know, the world's his oyster. Vertanen's interesting because that was a pick where I think, again, like a lot of Vancouver fans were worried about Vertanen after he was drafted. Didn't have the start that people thought he would, and, you know, it was looking a little dicey there for a while. But I think, you know, he made the Canucks roster out of camp. I think it was important for him to realize what he needed to do to be a pro, and that's not always evident right off the bat when you're coming from junior. But, you know, the conditioning stepped up, and I think there's also probably better expectations now that Virtanen, to me, he's a weapon that you point in the right direction. And he's very physical. He does have good offensive upside, but he's not, you know, he's not like a cerebral hockey player in the sense that he's not going to create a lot based on awareness and things like that. He's kind of a blunt tool, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I think those players are very effective, but you need to slot them accordingly. And I think if Virtanen can recognize his role, then he can be an NHLer, and it'll be very interesting to see how he does, again, under Travis Green, who had him in the minors last year.
Tell us about the Canucks' number one pick from this year, Elias Patterson.
Yeah, Pettersson, off to a pretty good start with Växjö in the Swedish Hockey League, the SHL. The Lakers were actually a very good surprise last year, and Pettersson was playing in the Allsvenskan, which is the second division in Sweden. So he makes a jump up, and, you know, 3 points in his first five games. And this is a player where he's going to get stronger over time. He's got a bit of a thinner frame right now, but very smart and very competitive, which I've always liked about him is, you know, when the puck's not going in the net for him, he really takes it to heart, but it doesn't affect his chances. He still does the right things to produce. It's almost like he knows that the law of averages are going to work in his favor, so he doesn't get down, he just kind of gets mad, and I think he does it in a positive way. So for him to get off to a good start playing against men in the SHL, Sweden's top division, I think it bodes well for his season.
The Canucks second round draft pick Cole Lind also off to a hot start.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Cole Lind and Michael DiPietro, both taken in the 2017 draft, they were the CHL player of the week and goalie of the week at the same time, the week that kicked off the season. Cole Lind, he's back with the Kelowna Rockets, and Kelowna's always one of the better teams in the WHL. He has shown off some very nice offensive chops so far, 10 points in his first four games, and it's important to realize that points can get a little skewed at the beginning of the season because not all the players are back from NHL camps, But I think with Lind getting off to such a hot start, it's obviously a good harbinger for him. What I want to see now is, now that things are serious again in terms of the lineups, how much damage can he do? I think he'll still have a lot of points this year because he has that capability, and he was a very good offensive player last year, but it's worth keeping an eye on. DiPietro, this is great for him because he had a very long season last year since he won the Memorial Cup with the Windsor Spitfires. And, you know, he's a great, competitive, athletic goalie. Doesn't have a lot of size, and that was the knock on him. He's only about 6 foot, 6'1", 6'1 tops. He's probably 6 foot, to be fair. But he's off to a great start for Windsor, stonewalling everyone. And again, getting back to my point about, you know, the rosters, the Spitfires have been playing without Logan Brown, who made the Ottawa Senators, and without Gabe Vilardi, LA's first-round pick, because he's out with injuries. So the Spitfires have been shorthanded, but they're still getting elite netminding, and DiPietro is putting up numbers, and that's a great sign.
There's any question marks about DiPietro's size, there certainly isn't about the Canucks' number one goaltending prospect, Thatcher Demko.
No, you're right about that. Thatcher Demko, he's 6'4", and, you know, he's going to be back with the Utica Comets this year in the AHL. I would expect him to get a lot of starts and a lot of reps, and I think that's great. I think he's on the right path. He had a fantastic hot streak last year from late February through March. He was basically unbeatable. I think he won 8 in a row. That needs to continue. He needs to be basically prepping himself for the number one job in Vancouver eventually. Now, with goaltenders, you always want to take your time. I mean, Matt Murray did it, and that was very surprising, especially because Matt Murray wasn't as highly touted as Thatcher Demko was as a prospect when they were both, you know, sort of 17, 18. But I think with Demko, you know, a full season in the AHL, maybe he gets a start in the NHL at the end of the year if Vancouver is really kind of at the bottom and they just want to see how things are doing. I think it's all about reps right now. He has the toolbox. And, you know, he's got the right mentality. So right now it's just about stopping pucks and getting those reps.
That's our look around the prospect world this week. We'll be back next week with our spotlight on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm your host, Edward Fraser. For Ryan Kennedy, thanks for listening.